Certainly thank God, for this is the day that the Lord has made. We are to rejoice and be glad in it. God has navigated our niches and allowed us this privilege of being present and participatory in this place and in the various places that you are at this present moment. Certainly, it is good to be alive, alert, and active, for it is in Him we live, move, and have our being. Thank God for Deacon DJ Vincent with that devotion, and thank God for Reverend McCoy being here in person, and the media ministry persons who are helping us, get the word out to you. I do ask that you be in prayer for Deacon McLean and Brother Herman McLean and their family. They're in bereavement. They lost their brother on last night. Please pray for Lady Rogers. She's recovering after surgery. Pray for Sister Larry, Deacon Irvin Larry's wife, and pray for him as well. She's at home recovering after surgery. Pray for Brother Dexter Law recovering after surgery. Pray for Sister Louise Broom. Pray for her and her family. I want to announce that registration is open for Sunday service. Registration will open Sunday, was open Sunday at 3 p.m. and will close Friday at 5 p.m. So make sure you register if you are planning to attend Sunday's service. We have two services, 8 and 10:30. Also, we will commence our Christmas drive on Sunday, Sunday, November the 15th, and we'll go until December the 13th. And so we ask that you give what God is laying on your heart to give as we set ourselves to be a blessing during the Christmas season. Again, we will donate toward or donate to the Ronald McDonald's House at St. Jude and to various persons within the Bessemer community. Our goal is $15,000, and we can reach that goal. It is not hard. 600 people, $25, $15,000. 500 people, $30, $15,000. And we go on and on. So I ask that you be a part of what God is leading us to do in this season. We have a lot of hurts. We're dealing with a lot of issues. We are living in the midst of a country divided between parties. And the Lord said these things would be, and He told us not to be alarmed. So we are to go down on knee station and pray that God will lead us and keep us as we are here in a divided country. We just had an election, and President-elect Joe Biden is not an easy task. Leadership is hard. Leadership is difficult. And the Bible tells us to pray for leadership. Pray for Sister Vice President Harris. Pray for their families. Pray for our communities. Matthew chapter 10, verses 40 through 42. Matthew chapter 10, verses 40 through 42. I want to thank Reverend McCoy for filling in for us on last week. I watched him via the church app, and what a wonderful job he did on last week. And I thank you for your virtual attendance and support and prayers for him and for Sister Rogers and I. So thank you so much. Matthew chapter 10, verses 40 through 42. It reads, "He that receives you receives me. He that receives me receives him that sent me. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink on to one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple. Verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Word of God for the people of God, the word is blessed. May we be blessed by being hearers and doers of his holy word. Tonight I want to talk about hospitality. Hospitality. I want us to work that word in our spirit, work that word in our hearts. Hospitality. Jesus brought to an end his missionary discourse with his disciples. Jesus had been talking with his disciples about their duty and the difficulties they would face, what others would do to them because of their witness of Christ. In verses 5 through 15, Jesus says, if any rejected the messengers of Christ, they were to shake off the dust of their feet as a testimony against the inhospitable people. In other words, they were not to force themselves nor the message of Christ on the people they were sent out to share the message with. They were only to share the message, and the people had to respond to the message. And he said, if they received them, they were to pronounce peace upon that house. But if they rejected them, they were to withdraw their peace from inhospitable people. In verses 40 through 42, Jesus taught the disciples about hospitality. Hospitality. What is it? Hospitality is to receive and welcome. It is to be friendly and generous in your reception and entertainment of guests and strangers. Let me say that again. It is to be friendly and generous in your reception and entertainment of guests and strangers. It is essential for us to understand that we are to be hospitable because we represent Jesus before others. Paul urged the church to follow after hospitality. Romans chapter 12, verse 13 says, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Let me say that again. He says, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Hospitality is characteristic of our belief. Let me say that again. It's characteristic of our belief. We are commanded to be hospitable. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 says, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Notice the words entertain strangers and angels. Entertaining strangers means simply be hospitable to strangers. Be hospitable to people beyond your family, beyond your closest social circles, beyond your spiritual connections. Strangers, people you are not really familiar with, people that you don't have a day-to-day conversation with. He says, be hospitable to strangers, but not only strangers. He says, be hospitable to angels. Now, the word angel is not talking about an angelic host or an angelic personality from heaven. The word angel simply means messenger, pastor, those who bring tidings. Let me say that again. Stranger is not talking, or angel is not talking about a heavenly being or an angelic being, one sent from heaven to earth to give a message. No, the word angel here refers to messengers, pastors, those who bring tidings. Abraham is a perfect picture of hospitality. You remember Abraham in Genesis chapter 18, while he was at the gate, three messengers came into the city, and Abraham took them home with him, and he was hospitable toward the three messengers. When the messengers arrived at Abraham's house, he ordered the women to make bread and slaughter a sheep or beast and dress it in haste and bring milk and any other provisions that he may set it before them. He was hospitable. He entertained the messengers. They were messengers of glad tidings. Most of us probably don't find it too difficult to offer hospitality to family and friends. But what about the stranger? What about the young person who is in trouble? What about the unsaved coworker? What about your neighbor who looks different and talks different? What about people who are sick with various diseases you don't know personally? What about people that you don't call on a day-to-day basis? How hospitable are we toward those persons? It is Ferdinand Funk in his sermon, Hospitality, the Heart of Discipleship, who said, hospitality is risky business. An open heart and an open home is a target for unpleasant experiences, but it can also be the recipient of unexpected surprises. Yes, it's risky business, but it also can be a place or create an environment of unexpected surprises. One thing we don't know is the gist of what God wants to do through us for someone else. So we are to be hospitable, we are to be open-hearted, and we are to open our doors, and we are to open our hands, and we are to open our pockets, we are to open our purses and our wallets to be hospitable, because it takes something to entertain. Notice Abraham, he didn't just entertain with the conversation, he entertained with milk, bread, meat, and any other thing that he could bring before them, because he wanted them to be comfortable in his presence and in his place. He said, hospitality is risky. It is a risky business. An open heart and an open home is a target for unpleasant experiences, but it is also the recipient of unexpected surprises. When we put ourselves in the place of obedience unto God, God will work through us to bless somebody. Now, I want you to understand, the hospitality of the disciples was an earlier conversation Jesus had with his disciples. But here in verses 40 through 42, he's not talking about being hospitable, but he's talking about receiving hospitality. Oh God, help me teach this tonight. He's not talking about being hospitable. He's talking about receiving hospitality. In other words, the disciples were the ones being cared for by others. As messengers of God, as people of God, as Christians, we need to both be caregivers and care receivers. My God. Let me say that again. As believers, as messengers of God, we are to be both caregivers and care receivers. We need to allow other people to use their gifts to help us get God's message out. When we are sent out, when we are sent out, when we are sent out without any means of support or defense, except that which is provided by God, or the people God has moved upon their hearts to receive our message, we are to receive their hospitality. Jesus said in verse 40, "He that receives you receives me, and he that receives me receives him that sent me." How people, please hear this, how people treat one of Jesus's followers represents the way they feel about him. My God, that's worth repeating. How people treat one of Jesus's followers represents the way they feel about him. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said in his book, The Cost of Discipleship, the bearers of Jesus's word receive a final word of promise for their work. They are now Christ's fellow workers and will be like him in all things. Thus they are to meet those to whom they are sent as if they were Christ himself. When they are welcome into a house, Christ enters with them. They are bearers of his presence. They bring with them the most precious gift in the world, the gift of Jesus Christ. That's a word. That's a word. He says, when they receive you, they receive me. When they receive me, they receive the one who sent me. That's a word. Now, the word receive here means to receive by deliberate and ready reception of what is offered. Let me say that again. It's to receive by deliberate and ready reception of what is offered. Here it is. Jesus said, you are to receive, number one, a prophet. You are to receive a prophet. Verse 41, a clause says, he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Now, I got to do some work here because I don't want you to falter and misunderstand the word prophet. By prophet is meant not one that foretells things to come, but a preacher of God's word. The prophet represents God. He goes forth from the presence of God and speaks what God has given him to speak. The prophet is an ambassador of Christ in the earth. He's a, a true prophet cannot be separated from his message, from the message he proclaims. You see the evidence of his message in his own life. So to receive a prophet is to receive a prophet in the name of a prophet. And that's to show respect by being hospitable to the prophet. See, to receive a prophet is more than mere kindness. It is a distinct recognition of the claims of Christ. He belongs to God. And you are to treat him as such. You are to respond to him as such. So to receive a prophet here is to receive his message of Christ. His message of Christ. We preach Christ. We preach Christ and him crucified. We preach Christ crucified, dead, buried, and raised from the dead. We preach Christ. We do not preach ourselves. We preach Christ. Notice the prophet's message is a revelation of the nature of God. Don't miss that, please. The message of the prophet is revelation of the nature of God. So the purpose of the prophet, the preacher, is to preach the word of God. The word of God reveals the nature of God. God wants us to know him. The most important thing you can receive as a reward is a revelation of the nature of God. I like Paul and how he speaks of Christ, Jesus Christ, as the express image of God. That Jesus Christ himself came to reveal to us the nature of God. The personality of God. The person of God. So the prophet is to preach, the preacher is to preach a revelation of the nature of God. Look with me, if you will, at Romans chapter 1. At Romans chapter 1. I can take time tonight. This is Bible study. And we can take time to time and turn. Romans chapter 1. Notice in verse 18 it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them." God wants us to know him. He has revealed himself to us. And preaching reveals God to us. Teaching reveals God to us. And how we are to relate to God. Be in relationship with God. So the message of the prophet, number one, is a revelation of the nature of God. But notice the prophet, number two, is God's appointed leadership. The preacher, the context now, the context. When Jesus looked upon the people of Israel, he was grieved because they were like sheep having no shepherd. According to Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38, the religious leaders of that day had failed to lead the people unto the person of salvation. Jesus is the person of salvation. They failed to lead the people to the person of salvation. So Jesus, in great concern, had gathered his disciples to send them out to extend his shepherding to the lost sheep. That Jesus is the shepherd of shepherds. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and he wants us to know his sovereignty, his rulership, his authority. is appointed leadership. He sent them out. He sent them out to extend his shepherding to the lost sheep. That's why preachers and pastors are known as gifts, according to Ephesians 4. Gifts. Gifts unto the church, because he wants the church to have godly leadership, appointed leadership. Not only do we see the revelation of the nature of God, the prophet is God's appointed leadership, but thirdly, notice the prophet's reward. Now here it is where it gets tough. I had to spend some time in deep study and meditation and prayer, because I was asked, what is a prophet's reward? Thought about it. God has appointed, prepared, and promised a reward to all who receives his prophets. But when we think about a prophet's reward, our minds instantly think on something big, something beyond what we expect, or something beyond the so-called ordinary. But I want to put two things before you as it relates to prophet reward. The first I draw from 1 Kings chapter 17. The prophet Elijah was sent to Zarephath to a widow, and she was out gathering sticks, had plans on cooking her last little meal in oil, eating it with her son, and die. That was her plan. But Elijah said, fix me a little cake first. He required hospitality. And the text says that she went in and fixed him a little cake, and he ate, she ate, and her son ate. And the Bible says, chapter 17 says, that God sustained her all during the famine. That he kept her supplied with meal and oil. Not only that, her son died, and she consulted with Elijah. And the Bible says he came and laid himself prostrate upon the boy, nose to nose, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, face to face. And he breathed in his nostrils and prayed, and God brought the boy back to life. When we think about a prophet's reward, it is easy for us to get hung up and settled right here. But the Lord began to deal with me in the context of Matthew chapter 10, and it goes deeper. The prophet reward can be punishment, pain, and persecution. Let me say that again. The prophet's reward can be the punishment, pain, and persecution of the prophet. To receive a prophet was to receive the word of the prophet, to follow in the way of the prophet. Therefore, the hostility that's levied against the prophet is levied against you. Let me give you an example in modern day. Sometimes people hate you, dislike you, mistreat you because of who you are connected to. And it happens in church. You have the fours, people who are for, and you have the people who are against. And the people who are for follow in the way of the teaching and the preaching and all of that. And the people who are against persecute the people who are for. So here we see the prophet reward can be the punishment, pain, and persecution of the prophet. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 12, "Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." He's referring to the Old Testament time when prophets were persecuted and put to death. Jezebel persecuted the prophet of the Lord, Elijah. Jeremiah was persecuted. Isaiah was persecuted. Amos. And it goes on and on. All of those prophets were persecuted. Now, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 36 through 38 says, "And others had trial of cruel markings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, and were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, in mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth." He's talking about in the Old Testament times. When we think about the dens and the caves, we know according to 1 Kings chapter 18, Obadiah hid 100 prophets in two caves, two different groups of 50s. 50 prophets in one cave and 50 prophets in the other. So we understand that all of this is to be true. Now, the reward, notice, is not in the earth. It's something we receive hereafter. So what's here on earth for profit is a lot of suffering for the name of Christ. All of us who are followers of Christ must be willing to suffer for the name of Christ. So the profit reward is something that's received. It's the eternal abode. It's the eternal life that's lived with God forever. It's received hereafter. The full consummation, the fullness of it is experienced in the hereafter. So not only do we see the reception of a prophet, notice the reception or the receiving of a righteous man. Verse 41, B clause says, "The one receives a righteous man or righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward." So a righteous person is a devout disciple of Jesus. A righteous man or a righteous person is one who is justified by the righteousness of Christ and is used by him for works of grace. A righteous person is one who performs the revealed will of God. Example, Joseph, the husband of Mary. He had to perform the revealed will of God. Matthew chapter 1, verses 19 and 20 say, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man," being a righteous man, "and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. So notice, he was a righteous man. He was willing to perform the revealed will of God. God revealed it unto him by way of a dream through the voice and presence of an angel. That was a huge undertaking. Engaged to Mary, and she was pregnant with a child. God's will. God's will. And he was willing to do the revealed will of God. Notice Jesus implores us to be hospitable to righteous people, whether they are preachers of God's word or not. Just be righteous or do good. Be hospitable to righteous people. People who set their heart to do right, the right of God, the will of God. Now notice the righteous man's reward. A righteous man's reward is the result of their actions. So the righteous man's reward is the result of his actions. Now we know we have positional righteousness and we have practical righteousness. Those who are positioned in Christ should practice what's right. So when you do right, you receive right. Older people where I'm from would say, son, you got to come back by the door. Y'all ever heard that before? You got to come back by the door. In other words, you have to be careful how you pass it because you got to come back by it. You got to be careful of what you're doing because you got to come back by it. Some would say what goes around comes around. See, you can't do wrong and expect right. You have to do right to receive right. And so the righteous reward is the result of their action. Listen, receive a righteous man as a righteous man because you desire to help the righteous. This is the last thing and I'm finished. Not only does he deal with the reception of the prophet, the reception of the righteous man, but he deals with, lastly, the reception of a disciple. Receiving a disciple. Verse 42 says, and whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. My God, what a word. So it is evident from verse 41 that little ones and disciples refer to one in the same persons. In other words, little ones here is not talking about a child. It's referring to the disciples of God, those who may seem to be insignificant, people who don't have great status within the congregation, within the church. He calls them disciples or little ones. People who are without extraordinary gifts. He says, be hospitable to ordinary people. And notice now, the hospitality of the ordinary is a cup of cold water They don't have much. It's like the widow I referred to earlier of Zarephath. She didn't have much. All she had was a little meal and a little oil. And that's what she gave to the prophet. Listen, it's really not the amount. It's the attitude. I said something then. It's the attitude. It's the heart. It's what's in the heart. Notice how deliberate the hospitality has to be, because he deals with the hospitality as cold water. So cold water is prepared. It's prepared because it was hot. It's hot in the Middle East. It's hot. So to give a cup of cold water was something that was prepared. And it was from the heart. It was something that was given with thought behind it. God Almighty. It's proffered. It's prepared. It's given. And he says, if they give one of the little ones, a disciple, prepared hospitality, God, they shall in no wise lose their reward. Are y'all reading the same Bible? They shall in no wise lose their reward. This is it. This is it. This is where I wanted to get you. This is it. Notice, if you receive someone who comes from the Lord, you are receiving the Lord. This is where I want to get you. Everyone is equal in the Lord. Those that are sent and those that receive who sent. We all get the same reward. My God. What a word. We all get the same reward. My God. I hope this lesson has blessed you. Be hospitable. Receive hospitality. It's the way of God. Father in heaven, we thank you again for the joy of today. We thank you for the health and strength you have given unto us. And Father, this assignment to share your word, to challenge us to think beyond ourselves and to think of others. Lord, we thank you for this truth, that you will have us to be hospitable, and you would also have us to receive hospitality. Lord, help us to open our hearts to both give and receive hospitality. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your tender mercies. We thank you for the totality of your triumph, that we are led always in triumph. We pray, Father, for the McLean family. We pray for Brother Law, Sister Larry. We pray for Sister Broom, Lady Rogers. We pray, Father, for all your people of this church and across this land and country. Even on foreign soil, we pray and ask you to strengthen their hearts as they go through. Father, I pray that they see you. Thank you for this session. Thank you for the power of your word. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen.